We are on page 700.
What page? 700.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 698. We just finished 698. We learned the last thing is when you keep mitzvahs, you'll sit securely on the land. Because when you don't, then Hashem will drive the Jews out of the land. So on top is 700. Pasuk says, "V'nasna ha'aretz piya." Then if you behave, you keep the Shemitah laws and you keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, then the earth will give its fruit. V'achaltam l'seiva, and you will eat your fill. So the Mefarshim explain, what's this double expression? One expression is there'll be a lot of food. And secondly, you'll get full from the food that you eat. Sometimes you can eat a little bit and get full. Sometimes you can eat a lot of food and not get full. So here the brach is, Rashi says.
Pasta, you eat and it doesn't
kill you. Bracha. Rashi says, even in the stomach, there'll be a bracha that the little food that you eat will also give you a bracha. So the Mefarshim explained an interesting concept just to, from a philosophical point of view. Why did Hashem give a bracha to be full from a little bit of food? Let him give a lot of food. It sounds like, it's good for the diet, obviously. If you're full from a little bit of food, you don't gain so much weight. But the question, why did Hashem give the bracha that you're going to be full with little rather than just give a lot of food?
Very big bracha.
So they answer that Hashem, and believe it or not, people don't look at it this way. Hashem doesn't want people to get used to luxuries and excessive things. Because it's not always a bracha. When you get used to luxuries, and then, number one, you become spoiled. And then the second you lose it, God forbid, you know, you're suicidal and you can't handle it anymore, and so on and so forth. So it says Hashem wants to teach a person that even with a little bit of food, they'll be happy. And they'll be able to handle it properly. Okay, now starts the famous question. And if you're going to... Oh, but another thing is... means you'll dwell securely on the land. That means you won't be exiled. But the Mefarshim explained another thing. Yeshavtem levetoch aleho means you'll get all your needs just from Israel itself. Eretz Yisrael, you won't need from anybody else. Yeshavtem levetoch, you live securely aleho. Because the pasuk could have said Yeshavtem levetoch, you live secure. Aleho adds that whatever the people need, Eretz Yisrael will produce. They won't have to travel overseas to get French design clothing. They'll get it all in Israel, or whatever food they want, they'll get there. Huh? What? How do I know about French design? I know more than you think I know with this stuff. Okay, now there's the famous question. We discussed this question, even though the question wasn't asked before, it's asked now. But the Torah says like this, V'chisayimu, if somebody will come along and ask the following question, Manechal Bashana Shvius, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Shemitah, we can't plant, right? The sixth year, seemingly, the earth is the weakest, okay? Then you have to, the seventh year, you can't, everything is hefker. Then you plant the seventh year, you have to get it, wait for the eighth year. So what are we going to eat? Hein le nizra ve le nesev es tvuaseinu. Behold, we didn't plant, we didn't gather the food. So he says, let's just see the next passage, then we'll discuss it. V'tzivisi es b'chasi lachem. I will command my bracha to you, Bashan Hashishis, in the sixth year. V'asas es hatvua. And they're going to make so much grain, l'shleisha shanim, for the 3 years. You'll have enough for sixth, seventh, and eighth. And then by the ninth, you'll be able to have the food already. Now, there's a discussion here between the Abarbanel and Rashi. Rashi learns that this bracha, this question, is about Shemitah. It's about Shemitah. But then the problem is, the order of the psukim is wrong. The order of the psukim is wrong. Because first the Torah spoke about Shemitah, then the Torah spoke about Yovel, and then the Torah asks the question, if you ask what you're going to eat. According to Rashi, that the question is about what are you going to eat in the Shemitah year, this question should have been there before. When the Torah speaks about Shemitah, so over there the question comes up, what are we going to eat? So granted, it's a bigger question by Yovel, but it's still a question by Shemitah. So why, and therefore their barbanellers, is not a question of Shemitah. It's actually a question like of a person questioning, you know, God's ability to give us things. But what's the explanation according to Rashi? Well, he spoke about this Shabbos a few weeks ago, but the Rebbe explains like this. A question in Torah, the kid already knows from before. Okay? In Parshas Bo'i, there's also a question. The Torah says, Ki yishocha vincha mocha lema mazeis. If your child will ask you, what is this all about? So you tell him the whole story of Pesach. Right? That's what the pasuk says. That's why you have the four questions and what you, the four sons and all that. The kid learned already there that that's the question of the Chacham. Because Rashi says, Ki yishocha vincha, who's asking the question? Not the Rasha, not the Tam, but it's the Shaila of the Chacham. Like, what's all this about? Mo'edus v'achukim ha'mishpat, what are all the questions? So the kid knows already that when the Torah speaks about questions, you're not talking about a Rasha, you're talking about a Chacham. A person who's good, believes, understands, you know, and he asks a question. So the Rebbe explains, well, Rashi, according to Rashi, the question over here is not like you learn simply, a guy denies and asks a question like he lacks faith, and he says to Hashem, hey, what are we going to eat? You know, where is the food going to come from? And Hashem says, don't worry, I'll give you a bracha. The question over here is in a different question. The question is on Shemitah and Yovel. What's the question? It's not a question, when are we going to eat? The question is, there's no question Hashem is going to support us. The question is, how is Hashem going to support? What does it mean? In the Midbar, they had the man. Okay, they had the man in the desert. They had what to eat. In fact, Hashem told them to take a jar of man and keep it in the Holy of Holies next to the Arden. And in case the Jews will ever doubt, you know, how can God take care of us? They're going to show them the Tzinsenes Haman, the package of the man. You see, this is the way Hashem supported the Jewish people. The kid's question, the person's question over here, v'chisem lo man neichal, is not a question, God, we're going to have nothing to eat. That's not the question. The question is, God, how are you going to give us food during Shemitah? Are you going to give us man? You're telling us we can't plant. So the question, okay, there's no question you're going to take care of us. But we want to understand details. How are we going to, are you going to give us man? Are you going to, what are you going to do? So Hashem says, no, I'm going to do something greater. Man is a miracle.
A miracle.
The man was a miracle. One of the nisim in the desert. But there's a greater type of miracle. When laws of nature say it's no good, and then it becomes very good, that's a greater miracle than the man falling. The man falling, Hashem made a miracle, the man fell. Here, like we learned, the sixth year is the weakest by nature. The earth produced for 6 years, the earth lost all its koyach, all its power, all the nutrients, whatever. So the sixth year, the earth is the weakest. So Hashem said, I'm not going to give you a miracle called the man. I'm going to show you, when Jews listen to my mitzvahs, that even nature, when nature says it cannot produce, nature itself is going to scream, meaning nature itself is going to give you more than what you need. In other words, as Hasidic terminology says, there's two ways of accomplishing something in the world. Okay, let's say you have a world, yeah? World is olam, which is he'olam, concealment. There's one way of bringing godliness into the world is by breaking nature. Break it. Okay? So you break nature, you show that you're more powerful than nature. There's even a greater level. That world itself screams there's a God. There's one way of bringing God into the world, break the enemy, and then God is there. Okay, that's one level. There's even a greater level. That the enemy becomes your friend. The enemy works for you. Is a much greater level than getting rid of the enemy. Hashem says, but this is what, by Shemitah and Yovel, Hashem says, when you keep the mitzvahs, what's going to happen is that the sixth year, which is the weakest, is going to produce so much more. That means the enemy, so to speak, is going to be giving you the bracha. The weakest nature, the sixth year, that itself is going to be giving you the bracha, which is a much greater accomplishment. What?
Basic concept. Imagine if there is no Shemitah. The question is, on the seventh year, farmers normally eat their food from what year? From the
sixth.
So that being the case, if there is no Shemitah, if they don't keep the seventh year, they would have food from the sixth year automatically.
Yeah, but then they'll have half of the Well, according to Rashi, it's half years. It's like the food of the sixth year lasts for half of the seventh. And then that's what Rashi learns.
So that being the case, why would they even ask a question, what are we going to eat for the seventh year? They know that every year you're going to...
He means for the half of the seventh year. Right.
The question is not a complete question.
Correct. And that therefore, according to Rashi, it's not three complete years, it's three half years. Right. But it's still in the third year, doesn't necessarily mean three. If you notice, the pasuk doesn't say, Manechel Sholishonim. It doesn't say, well, what are we going to eat for 3 years? It said, what are we going to eat in the third year? Right? So the bracha is, it's going to produce for 3 years. The sixth will produce for the sixth, seventh, and eighth. And if there's a yevil for even a fourth year. But it's not necessarily full years. That's why the pasuk is Manecho Bashana Hashlishis. Huh? No, I'm on the my chumash went back. Manecho Bashana Hashvius, right? No, but there is. No, there is a lashon shana shlish. Okay, whatever. Okay, Tzvi says berchasi lachem. I'm going to command the bracha in the 6 years. You know, it's a very interesting thing. I mentioned this. It's off the topic a little bit. We know the Rebbe fought a lot to have Chanukah menorahs displayed on government property. The Rebbe fought a lot. He went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they won. But it went... Mamas, the Rebbe was adamant that they should have menorahs lit on government property, whether it's city, state, federal, whatever. It should be on... Why to publicize the miracle? And they fought in court, and I mean, it's a whole thing, yeah? Why do you need to fight with the city? Put it on private property. Okay, everybody should put a menorah on the front lawn. And we dafka need it in City Hall, you dafka need it in the state government or federal government. What's the big deal? Put it in, it's on the roof of a private building. The whole city will see it. I mean, what do you have to... What's the inyan of fighting dafka that city should, or the state, or the government should do it? So perhaps one of the explanations of what we're learning here, basically. Because government represents the world. It represents the earth, the people, all the people. A private person represents himself. Government represents all of the people. When government has a menorah, that means world is screaming Hanukkah. Not a private person screaming Hanukkah. Government represents everybody. So then it's the world as world screaming that there's a Hanukkah. It's a much different level than just doing it as a private person. Okay. Then, what? What are you doing on Purim? Put up a gragger on the roof? A homintash. Homintash. A sukkah is a shailan aloch about public place if you yaitse. Okay. Pasuk of base, 22 and 700. Uzratem es Hashanah Hashminis, you're going to plant in the seventh year, because obviously the seventh you could. V'achaltem en Aytvu Yoshon, you're going to eat from the old grain. Ad Hashanah Chiyas until the ninth year. Abay Tvuasa, until the grain comes. Teichlu Yoshon, you should eat it. You'll eat the old stuff from the sixth year. And obviously it won't spoil and it'll be good. Okay, then it says like this. This is what we discussed already. Then it says like this. V'ha'aretz le'simach le'tzmisus. This is now going back to Yovel. V'ha'aretz le'simach le'tzmisus. You should not sell the land forever, a permanent basis. Kili ha'aretz, because the land belongs to me. Okay? In other words, this is poshit. A law, a negative commandment in the Torah, you're not allowed to sell land that smises forever. Why? Because kili ha'aretz, the land is mine, but kigeinim ayit v'teishavim atem imari, because you're only strangers in my land. In other words, it's not your land. God says it's my land. And therefore, this is what I'm telling you to do. So if you, by the way, there's an interesting halacha we're going to soon see when we get to the next few psukim. There's a lot of interesting halachas in Rambam about Yovel. One of the halachas that Rambam brings down from the Gemara, if somebody sells a land for 60 years, the din is it doesn't go back in Yovel. Why? Because it's anyway going to go back. The Torah says you can't sell it for eternity. You can't sell it for all time. But if somebody says, I'm going to sell you a land for 60 years, the halacha is Yovel, it doesn't go back during Yovel, because the land's going to go back anyway. So you're not transgressing the concept of selling it for eternity. So you sell it for 1,000 years? Huh? You sell it for 1,000 years. You have to live that long. No, the Rambam writes. Here. Hamecha sadeh l'shishim shana. It's a Gemara above Metziah. The Rambam writes, if you sell your land for 60 years, ain't a yoytze by yoyvel. It doesn't go out by yoyvel. Why? Shein chozer by yoyvel, el odover hanimka stam, without any amount of time, or hanimka litzmisus. If you say clearly, I'm selling it forever, so then it goes back by yoyvel. But if you sell it for like for 60 years, so then halacha the Rambam says, and we're going to see a bunch of more halachas in the laws of Rambam.
It goes back anyway, but when does it go back?
It goes back after the 60 years in that case. In that case, it goes back back to this.
Somebody is 50 or 60 years old can hold something for 60 years.
Yeah, why not? It goes to his kids.
Yeah, he cannot keep it. It goes to the kids.
Right, it goes to the kids.
More than 50 years.
Yes, then it goes back to the... What happens if somebody died before Yovel? The fields go back to the kids. I mean, whoever is Yiddish. Whoever inherits.
It. You haven't sold it. When you sell something forever, you've sold it and you have nothing, no connections to it.
First of all, you can sell something according to Torah law, at least, on a conditional basis.
Well, that becomes a lease then, because you're going
to
get it back.
Yeah, but the problem, but not the problem. According to Torah, schiros, lease, is bought for the duration of the lease. Correct. It's considered bought. It's a kinyan, it's a mechira, for X amount of time. That's the halacha.
But if you lease it forever, that means you've sold it forever. Like
For instance, there's certain dinim, like a prilzba, whatever. In order to do it, you need to own land. Right? So the halach is, even if you rent land, you can make a pruzbul, let's say, okay, by Shemitah, whatever, because when you lease, rent land, it's halacha considered that you owned it for the duration of the lease. So it's semantics in English, but in halacha, if you rent land, you own it for the duration of the land, of the lease, and then you have to give it back.
That's why the 60 years makes sense.
Yeah, because you're not selling it for permanency. Right.
I was in Hawaii in 1969, and I was told at that point, they give you land for 99 or 100 years. You can't buy it. 99?
Maybe you were in Hong Kong over there. You didn't mix up Hawaii with Hong Kong?
They said you can't own the land, you can only lease it for 99 years.
What?
I don't know if it's
somebody sold their house on this field.
Hawaii was
can you sell the house?
And whose field?
He has a field and he wants to build the housing instead of land.
Yeah.
He can sell his house?
Yeah, but it goes back to the owner in Yeovil. Well, now the Torah is going to start talking about these things. Let's now starts a whole different story. Okay, next. Now starts some interesting dinim. By the way, these dinim don't apply today because there's no Yeovil today. But this is very interesting dinim, the way the Torah works with the ownership of the land. Hashem wants to show, by the way, there's a very important concept. Hashem says, it's mine, I let you live here. So don't play games with me. I tell you not to sell it for this amount of time, this is what you could do, and don't play games, because if not, I throw you out. The moral of the story is, when your teenagers or younger kids fight, get out of my room, get out of my room, they came into my room, get out of my room. The Torah response to that in Chinuch is, you tell your kids that are fighting, it is not your room. It's the parents' room. We let you stay there. So it's not your room, and don't even think about it. No, that's the proper Torah response in Chinuch. When kids fight, get out of my room, get out of my room, the answer is, it's not your room. It's the parents. Parents say, it's my room, our room, whatever, and we let you use it. It's not your room to throw anybody out of. Then you turn to the kid and say, it's not your room, get out of here. But as far as the one that says it's my room, no, this is what Hashem's telling us.
I used it 3 weeks ago, ever since I landed, four weeks ago.
I used it plenty in my life. There are a bunch of kids. The more kids you have, the more you use it. And the older they get, the much more you use it. No, you tell the kids, until you pay rent, it's my house. You want to pay rent? We'll talk about a rental deal. No, it's a very important thing. This is what the Torah says. Ha'aretz leisi marcha letzmisus kili ha'aretz. Hashem says, the earth is mine. I'm letting you use it. That's the whole concept of the chinuch explains, the whole purpose of Yeovil is that people should have the emunah and understanding that everything belongs to Hashem, and Hashem lets us use it, but it's not ours. Hashem lets us use it for the duration. By the way, we're just learning this, the two min chamayv also. Our bodies also don't belong to us. Just like the land doesn't belong to us, our bodies don't belong to us. You know, this whole abortion issue, it's my body, I can do with my body what I want. It's completely contrary to Torah. Our bodies are not ours. Not male and not female.
I feel sorry for whoever owns my body.
I feel sorry for God for a lot of reasons.
His back must be killing him right now.
No, the point is, our bodies don't belong to us. Our bodies are loaned to us by Hashem for 120 years, and we have to take care of it. Therefore, you're not allowed to inflict your body, you know, surgeries that are not medically needed. I mean, all these things are questionable in Allah, if you're allowed to do them or not, because the land doesn't belong, and Hashem says, the bodies don't belong to us, either belong to Hashem, and therefore it's not your body to make a decision what you want to do.
If a child tells you it's not your house, it's a Hashem house and everything belongs to Hashem, but you cannot throw him away.
Yeah, because you tell the kid it's Hashem's house, true, but Hashem made us in charge of the house. Which is true, by the way.
No,
that is true.
No,
Hashem made us in charge of the house. I'm Hashem's manager. Bechlal, people need to understand. People need to understand a fundamental concept. Okay, in the concept of giving tzedakah and bechlal. When Hashem, whatever we own, whatever house is money, whatever it is, doesn't matter what. The property we own is not ours. We are only managing Hashem's estate. Yeah. That's the truth of the matter. We are managing Hashem's estate. Hashem entrusted us to manage his estate. Now that's why the Gemara says, Rebbe, who himself was extremely, extremely wealthy, okay, the Gemara says, we just learned it, that the stable masters of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi were richer than the king of Persia. That's what the Gemara says. The guys that took care of the horses, the Gemara says there was so much manure from the horses, and he had so many horses, and they sold it for money. The Gemara says they were richer. What?
Sold the manure, right?
Yeah, we just learned that. I don't remember when we learned it, but it's a Gemara. The Gemara says the stablemen of Rebbe. So Rebbe was a very, very wealthy man. So the Gemara says Rebbe mechabed ashirim. Rebbe used to honor wealthy people. So Mepharshim explains, why did Rebbe, what makes him better people? Usually it's not the truth. Usually it's the opposite. Why did Rebbe honor people? So he says, if Hashem entrusted this person to be a bigger manager for Hashem, a bigger company, so to speak, so obviously the person has a certain schus that Hashem gave him a bigger company to run than a person with a smaller company to run.
Bigger headache.
Marbin Nechos and Marbin Daig is true. No, I'm just saying people have to understand. So when you give tzedakah or whatever you're doing, you're not giving your money. You're giving Hashem's money. Hashem is trusting you to give as much as... So you have to give what Hashem wants, not what you want.
How I know?
Come to me, I'll tell you. Okay. Pasuk Chafei is a very interesting dinim coming up. Ki yamach achicha, Pasuk Chafei. If your brother will become poor, and sells part of his land, and the relative that's close to him, meaning the closer one to inherit, the gal and should redeem what the brother sold. In the next number of psukim, the next few paragraphs, so to speak, the Torah is speaking about various different types of things. Number one, again, if this applies today, it's not because people are in the business, but the Torah says, "Ki yamach achicha u'macher me'achuzasi." So the Gemara learns out from this passing, Rashi brings it down, that the only time a person is allowed to sell his an ancestral plot is only when he's broke, that he's not nothing to eat. But the Torah says, Ki yamach achicha, when he becomes poor, umachar me'achuzasi, then you could sell. And the Torah doesn't say, umachar achuzasi. Me'achuzasi means only part of it, not all of it.
What?
Your land. In other words, a person, in time of Yovel, in time of Eretz Yisrael, it was forbidden to sell land for profit as a business. You were only allowed to sell land, the Torah says, ki yamach achicha, if your mamish were broke and you had nothing to eat, so then you were allowed to do it. And even then, me'achuzasi, not all of it, only part of it. Then the Torah says, uba goyale hakarev elav, the closest relative, which means the closest relative as inherit for the power of inheritance, should redeem it. Okay? So it's brought down over here, the famous machlekes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the Torah doesn't mean the relative must, not that he must do it. The Torah is suggesting strongly that you should redeem the field. Buy it back from the one that sold it. What happens if the closest relative refuses? It goes to the next relative. Like Yibum, you go with Yibum. He has this one, you want to do it? No, then you go to the next kid, next kid, next kid. Right? Now, because of that, it keeps going from the relative to relative. Next pasuk says, what happens if you don't have a relative? And we'll soon see what that means. According to Rabbi Eliezer writes that this is an obligation on only the relatives that have the ability to redeem the land. They have an obligation, a biblical obligation, to redeem the land from the buyer. only the relatives. The first opinion says, any person who wants to, the Torah says, because eventually everybody's related, we all come from Yaakov Avinu, so we're all related. So therefore, it doesn't mean, and therefore the next pasuk says, the ish ki lo yia goyel, if a man will not have a redeemer. Okay? Now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the first opinion, this pasuk refers to any Jew. Whoever is able to redeem it, the Torah suggests that you redeem it. So then the question is, what does it mean a Jew doesn't have a redeemer? So there's only one case that a Jew cannot have a redeemer, a relative. That's if a ger converts and he never got married. So there's no relatives. Right? If a ger gets married, then his kids will inherit him. Okay? But if a ger doesn't get married, he converts and doesn't get married, so then he has no relatives. And that's what then. But according to the second opinion of Eliezer, that we're talking about the heirs, the ones that inherit, should buy back the field. So therefore, what does it mean? Ve'em ein lo ish goyel? It doesn't mean he has no relative. It means he has no relative that's able, financially able, to buy back the field. There's two ways of learning here. In other words, according to the first opinion, the pasuk means ba'al goyel ha'kariv elov. When any Jew who's relative, basically, should come and redeem the field. What happens if there's no relative, i.e., ger who converts? And so then the Torah says what to do. Okay? The other second, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, this refers an obligation on the relatives. Ein lo ish goyel doesn't mean there's no relatives, it means there's no relatives that have the means to be able to redeem it. What? You mean, how did he sell the land? He bought land.
He said they couldn't sell land.
Yeah, until you're able, you could sell land. In other words, how did the ger, right, that's a good point, how did the ger get land? So the ger got land because somebody went broke, and he needed to sell the land. The ger bought the land, but basically until you're able, and then, keep going. Right.
When can we apply all these laws?
When Mashiach comes.
Until then we're stuck.
Yeah. No 50-year release.
Is there some way I could find out where my relatives were in Israel?
In the past?
You know, when they landed there.
Going to a time machine.
Everybody got land.
Going to the time machine.
Yeah.
Go backwards in time.
That's probably
Eish HaTorah
in the old
thing. Okay, what happens if a man doesn't have any relatives? And he himself got the money. He wasn't able to get the money. And he found enough money to redeem the field that he was forced to sell. I'm going to see the next to Pesukim, because this whole thing needs to be discussed. V'chishev v'shnei memkarei, you have to reckon how many years of the sale. V'heishev v'sa'edef, you return the change. L'isha shemachalei, to the one that sold it to him. V'shav l'achuzasei, and he goes back to the one that originally sold it, back to his inheritance. What happens if he couldn't? Pasuk Chavches says, then the land stays by the owner until Yevil. The halacha is like this. This is a little, even though it's not clearly mentioned in the Chumash, but the Gemara learns out these dinim from the Pasuk. This regular land, if somebody is, this is the general gist of the halacha here. Somebody is broke, they can sell land. Okay? They sell land. The Torah says, if their relatives are able to redeem it, they need to redeem it. The buyer has no choice. Let's say the buyer bought the field, and the relative says, okay, I have the money for my relative, sell him back the land. The buyer is forced to sell it back to him. That's what the Torah is saying over here. He's forced to sell the land back to the one that sold it. Because the Torah doesn't want people giving up land. There's no choice, he gave up his land. The second there's an opportunity to buy it back, either the relative, or if there's no relative and the guy himself got the money, the buyer is forced to sell it back to him. But you deduct how many years to Yovel. Because if there's no redemption, the field anyway goes back to the seller and Yovel, right? The land anyway goes back. So let's say he sold it to him for $50, right? So it's a year for a dollar, or how many years left to Yovel? So let's say there are 10 years left to Yovel, okay? And he sold him the field for $100. So it's basically $10 a year, right? After 3 years, the guy wants to buy back the field, or the relative wants to buy it back. So there's 3 years, you have to give him $70. You don't give him the whole $100 because he lived there for 3 years, it's $10 a year, right? You give him the $70, he's forced to sell the land back to you. But the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, V'chisha v'shnei mimkorei, the Gemara learns out, you cannot redeem it for 2 years. For the first 2 years, you cannot redeem the land.
Why? You have to use it,
he bought it, the Torah says, Rachman is on the buyer. Okay? For 2 years, that's what it says, V'chisha v'shnei mimkorei, the years that he sold it, Shnei doesn't mean 2 years, but minimal years is two. So therefore, the Gemara learns out that the din is that for 2 years, you can't sell the field. You can't buy it back.
Even he had a lot of rich kids and he has money, and even if he has the money.
Correct.
What is the problem if other Jew owns the same land? What is the problem?
Harvest is planting?
Huh?
The new buyer planted and he has to harvest his planting?
Yeah, because the Torah wants him to eat. In fact, this is the din in the Rambam. Very interesting din. When the Gemara learns out from... Yeah, I'm going to read the Halacha in the Rambam because then it clarifies this whole din. A person should not sell his field or his house, even though they go back after time. So, what's the big deal? I'll sell, but I'm going to get back anyway. Elim kein he'ani. Unless if the person became broke. Shenema, because it says here, ki yomucha chicha umocha me'achuzosi. You became broke, you have to sell. Avolimkert will aniach adomim bekisei, but to sell it and pocket the money, or lasis behem scheira, to do business with the money, ein rashoi, okay, you're not allowed to. It's only allowed to be sold from a zaynus bilvad. Only mamish when you need food to eat. Okay? But then the Rambam says, "When aver umachar, what happened? Okay, you weren't allowed to, but what happens if you did sell the field? It's still sold anyway. In other words, a seller cannot sell land to have extra money. You can sell land only for food. If you did, you did wrong, and you sold the land, the deal is still a deal. Like we learned, if I sell you something on Shabbos, right? Even though I'm not allowed to, but the sale is a sale." You can't say, no, it's not a sale, we did it on Shabbos. You weren't allowed to do the sale on Shabbos, but if you sold something on Shabbos, it's sold and that's it. You can't, it's done, the deal's done.
What is the problem if other own the land, the same land that is a Jew? What is the problem with this?
Huh?
What is the problem if other Jew will own this?
Because the Torah wants him to be there.
Say it again.
The Torah wants only to be there. Now, Hamecher Sadeil Bizman Sheyevel Neig, Eina Mutter Ligel, you cannot redeem the field, the Rambam says, less than 2 years. Lepochus Mishdesh on him. Why? Because it says, Bemisper Shnei Tvuis Yimkaloch. And then the Rambam says, Afilu Rota Likeach. What happens to the buyer after a year? The buyer says, you know what, if you want, I'll sell you back the land. Asur. Huh? It has to be at least for 2 years.
Sometimes you say what in the same year, no?
I don't know. Here it says at the bottom, Shalei Beratzen HaMecher. It could be if they both agree, maybe you could. I don't know. Bepashya, the Lashon of the Rama means, either it has to be, if one wants and one doesn't want, you can't do it, no matter who it is.
But if in 1 year they have stayed for all, it's not
1 minute. V'tzarech, 1 second. V'tzarech, I'm not done yet. And it has to be shtei ein pachzim shtei shom me'es le'es. That means if you sold the land Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the 2 years are up Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Okay? You sold it Aleph Nissen, 2 years are up Aleph Nissen. And then he says like this, V'tzarech sheyoichel alakeach shtei tvuas b'shtei shonim. The buyer needs to eat two crops in 2 years, and then he could be redeemed. What happens? One of the years was Shemitah, so you couldn't have 2 years. Okay? No good.
You have 2 years, but you don't have to stay for...
Then, there's, okay, when again, there's a lot of details in this halach, which, but the bottom line is, this field could be redeemed, or should be redeemed, but not for 2 years. After 2 years, you figure out how much you paid for it, how many years until Yovel, how much was per year, you redeem it after 3 years, you deduct 3 years from the payment, and you give it to the buyer, and he's forced to sell the land back to you. You can't have it any other way. Now, what happens, im lo matza yadei de hashiv lo? What happens if he doesn't have the money to do it? So then the din is, the Torah says, v'yimkari b'yara kaina esay, it goes into the hands of the buyer and stays there until Yevil, and then it goes back to the seller. What?
Who conduct all this selling and buying land and all these transactions?
Either the Bezdin of the city or the people between themselves wrote up documents, and who does it today? Okay, you have escrow, you have this. Okay, but if they wanted it to be validated with a legal sale that nobody can come along later and question it, yeah. I mean, otherwise, unless if you have documents, with witnesses, then it's also not a problem.
They have to sign the documents, right?
They have to sign the documents with witnesses to be valid. I mean, unless the guy, listen, I can lend you money without getting any documentation, then I can mess myself up if you deny it. And I have no proof. With that, you have to prove it. How are you going to prove it if there's no documentation? So you need all these things. But in those days, they had the documents of that they bought the field. And up to 3 years, the Gemara says you need to hold your documents. After 3 years, you don't have to hold the documents anymore. It's like here, if at IRS, I think you have to 5 years, whatever. In halacha, it's, huh? Five, seven, who knows? But in halacha, 3 years, you have to hold. After 3 years, you can say, I lost my document. Huh? I lost the deed. But there's another interesting part over here. It says, V'ish ki lo yiyah goyel. Right? Okay? If a person will not have a redeemer. What does it mean? So the Aruch Haim HaKadosh defines it like this. Ish refers to Hashem. Hashem Ish Muhammad Hashem Shmoy. Ish refers to Hashem. No. By the way, let me just say a little secret. Hashem is a white male Ashkenazi. Just keep that in mind. No. A realist. Okay. So then, what happens? It says like this: V'ish if Hashem. This is where our Chaim learns the pasuk. V'ish ki lo yiyah le'goyel. If the Hashem will not have anybody a redeemer to redeem the Jews out of Golus, okay? And then Hashem says, "There's only one means. Hashem will raise His hand. V'isiga yaday. Hashem will raise His hand." Punishing them in Golus until he finds, until the Jews wake up, the Jews will wake up and find out that they have to do it themselves to redeem it, redeem themselves from Golus. In other words, the Aruch Haim explains that the Pasuk is saying the following. What happens, a person goes into Golus. The land has to be sold. Okay? Land has to be sold. So normally, what does this mean in a spiritual sense? Jews become poor spiritually. They're forced to go out of the land. They have to sell the land. the Golden Golas. The Torah says, what do you need to do? You need to go alas mim karachim. You need to redeem the land. We need to redeem the Jews back out of Golos into Eretz Yisrael. What happens? The ish kilayia legoil. What happens if Hashem won't have anybody doing it? Hashem won't have anybody to redeem it. So the pasuk says the yisiga yadai. Hashem is going to pick up his hand and punish the Jewish people, and Hashem will force them by suffering. That the Jews should find out that they need to do tshuva and come back to Hashem. So the Torah Chaim learns it's like a negative thing. That Hashem says, if you don't get a redeemer to get the Jews back into Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to punish you until you realize yourself that you need to come back. And then, eventually, but even then, by the way, what does the pasuk say in Chav Ches? If there's nobody to redeem it, eventually Yovel is going to go back. What does this mean? Eventually the Jews are going to go out of Golus. If there's a redeemer, they're going to go out before Yovel. If there's no redeemer, Hashem says, don't worry, Mashiach is going to come by a certain time anyway, but you could have made him come much earlier by bringing redeemers to redeem the Jews out of Golus. But anyway, it's going to happen. Every Jew is going to go back to where they belong. Whether they like it or not, by the way.
So according to you,
according to
the Torah, giving out the land is a very dangerous thing.
Giving up land of Eretz Yisrael is not only biblically forbidden, there's two issues. Okay, we'll just spend a few minutes on this. There's two issues in a spiritual sense of Jews giving back land of Eretz Yisrael. There's two problems. One is the negative commandment in the Torah, Lo Yisachonim. In Parshas Vayeshanan, the Torah says Lo Yisachonim. Lo Yisachonim means, according to a different interpretation. One is don't give a matnas chinam, don't give a goy a gift. Another one, the Rashi quotes also from the Gemara, and halach is Lo Yisachonim, don't give them chaniya ba'aretz. Don't give him living rights in the land. Okay? So number one, Eretz Yisrael belongs to God and to the Jewish people. Nobody is the balabas to give back land that doesn't, I can't give back your land. Right? If you have a community, one guy can't make the decision to give it back. It is a community land. It belongs to the nation. The only one who's the boss on the nation is Hashem. Okay? So nobody is allowed to give back land. That's a negative commandment clearly in the Torah. Finished. That's anywhere which is in the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Which in Parshas Maaseh, the Torah describes exactly what the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are. Okay? Obviously, Yerushalayim, the West Bank, that's all biblical Eretz Yisrael. So that's forbidden to give back. That's clearly in the Chumash, Le'isichonim, Le'isitan, Le'amchaniya Ba'aretz. Rambam, you know, to give it back. Then there's a second issue. Even land that's biblically not Eretz Yisrael, so it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's still forbidden to give back if it poses a danger and a risk. Then it's a shalat pikuach nefesh. And say dangerous. You're not allowed to endanger a life. So, for instance, and again, the halacha is that you need to ask the experts of that particular field, that area, their expertise, right? If you want to know if somebody needs to eat on Yom Kippur or not, you ask a doctor, because this is his expertise. You don't ask a politician if this person needs to eat or not, right? You don't ask, you ask a doctor, that's his expertise, right? B'chol Torah says, how do you make a decision? You ask the expert in that particular field, not the person who's not an expert in the field. The Rebbe said, Moshe, when they get now to give back to Sinai, when they give back Sinai, and Sinai is not biblical Eretz Yisrael. So that aspect of giving back Sinai was not a problem as far as the law of the Torah of giving back land that belongs to us. We have no right to give it back. But the Rebbe said, when it comes to decision of life endangering insecurity, the experts are not the politicians, but the army people. They're the experts in security, not the politicians sitting in Washington or in Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim in the cabinet. Who is the experts to know what security is? The people of security. That's the army people. And the Rebbe said, every army person said it's dangerous to give back the land for two reasons. Number one, there's plenty of oil there that they need for security. It's also security. And secondly, Sinai was a big buffer zone between the countries and Eretz Yisrael, so there's a long, big, empty space that would be just a security for Eretz Yisrael. You let the Goyim come all the way to the border.
Just like Gush
Katif. One second. You let the Goyim come all the way to the border. Okay? So the Rebbe calls it a Din Shulchan Aruch that if Goyim come, if it's a port city, and Goyim come, even if they're coming al iske kash v'tevin, even if they're just coming for straw, they're not the, yeah? You have to, on Shabbos, you have to desecrate Shabbos, is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Rambam, in Gemara, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You have to take weapons on Shabbos and desecrate Shabbos. Why? Because a port city, once they conquer a port city, the whole land is open now. They come from the sea, and if they conquer that city, the whole land, they can get to anywhere. Right? So the Rebbe said, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, that there's a din of pikuach nefesh, you're not allowed to give back land if it's going to pose a danger to Israel. Now again, the deciders for that is not the politicians who are worried what America is going to say, or this person is going to say, that person is going to say. The experts are the army people. This is the Pashut Halacha. The army people are the experts, and every one of them said, until they became politicians. But while they were army people, they all said that it's dangerous to give it back. So then, it's forbidden to give it back, not because it's Eretz Yisrael, but because you're posing a risk to all the Jews that live in Eretz Yisrael. But so there's two issues. There's the biblical land you're not allowed to give back, even if it doesn't pose a danger. Another land, Eretz Yisrael, you can't give it back, period. It's Hashem's land, He gave it to us, we're not allowed to give it to anybody else. That's even when things are great. No wars, nothing. You can't give back Eretz Yisrael to a different nation than the Jews. But here's a different issue. Even if it's not biblical Eretz Yisrael, but it poses a danger, so then halachically you're not allowed to give back for a worse reason, because of danger. And that's a much worse issue. Sorry,